We hear the word of God this morning from Psalm 17. It's found on page 539 in the Church Bible. Psalm 17. Last Lord's Day, we looked at Psalm 1, a psalm that teaches us that the way of happiness comes by the way of the word of God. We learned that the truly happy person is the person who loves the word of God and is being guided and nurtured by it. Well, this morning we come to a psalm that has a very different emphasis. Psalm 17 is a prayer for justice. As King David was being attacked by his enemies, he offered this prayer to God. David knew that the Lord is a just judge. He knew that the Lord loves righteousness. And so here in this prayer, David asked the Lord to look in on his situation, to see what his enemies were doing, and to do what was right by vindicating David and bringing judgment on those who opposed and oppressed him. So this is a prayer for justice, a prayer for the Lord to act and to do what is right. So let's listen to the text together. Psalm 17, we hear now the word of God. A prayer of David. Hear, O Lord, my righteous plea. Listen to my cry. Give ear to my prayers. It does not rise from deceitful lips. May my vindication come from you. May your eyes see what is right. Though you probe my heart and examine me at night, though you test me, you will find nothing. I have resolved that my mouth will not sin. As for the deeds of men, by the word of your lips, I have kept myself from the ways of the violent. My steps have held to your paths. My feet have not slipped. I call on you, O God, for you will answer me. Give ear to me and hear my prayer. Show the wonder of your great love, you who save by your right hand those who take refuge in you from their foes. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings from the wicked who assail me, from my mortal enemies who surround me. They close up their callous hearts, and their mouths speak with arrogance. They have tracked me down. They now surround me with eyes alert to throw me to the ground. They are like a lion hungry for prey, like a fierce lion crouching in cover. Rise up, O Lord, confront them. Bring them down. Rescue me from the wicked by your sword. O Lord, by your hand, save me from such men. For men of this world whose reward is in this life, you still the hunger of those you cherish. Their sons have plenty, and they store up wealth for their children. And I, in righteousness, I will see your face. When I awake, I will be satisfied with seeing your likeness. Thus far the reading of God's word, let us pray together. Holy and gracious God, we thank you for this psalm, this portion of the word of God. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to hear this morning. May we take the words before us to heart, learn from them, and be guided by them. And help us to see more of your glory, Father, and your grace in Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, the God of the Bible, the God who made the heavens and the earth, the God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is a righteous God. He is a righteous judge. The Lord, who is the great King and lawgiver, is absolutely just in maintaining and enforcing his law. He is a righteous judge. Think of the words that Abraham spoke to the Lord when the Lord spoke to him about destroying the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham said, "Far be it from you to do such a thing, to put the righteous to death with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is right?" And of course, the answer to Abraham's question is yes. The Lord, who is the judge of all the earth, will do what is just. He will only do what is just and right. He will never do wrong. He will never be unjust. He will never be unfair. The Lord will only do what is right. Or listen to the words that we hear in Psalm 98 and what is said there about the judgment of God. Psalm 98, let the rivers clap their hands, let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. Or Psalm 96, then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. Notice in both those passages, we hear that the Lord is a righteous judge. He is absolutely just in his judgment. And in both of these passages, that is something that is celebrated. That's a good thing. We can celebrate the truth that the Lord our God is a righteous judge. I mean, if you look at the world, there are so many that are in positions of judgment historically that have been unfair and unrighteous. But not so the Lord, the living God. He does what is right. And we wouldn't want it to be otherwise. And that is something that is celebrated. The psalm writers celebrate the Lord's coming and judgment because they know that the Lord is just and that when he comes, he will do only what is right. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. And this, of course, is something that David, the author of our psalm this morning, knew very well. Now, as we read Psalm 17, it's very apparent that this psalm came from a time in David's life when he was being attacked. Now, we're not told, as we are in some of the other psalms, who it was that was threatening or attacking David. If you go back and read about David's life in 1 and 2 Samuel, you will find, of course, that he was under attack a lot of the time from various people. So we don't know the specific occasion that led David to offer this prayer, but what is clear is that his enemies were after him, and they seemed to be prevailing against him. They were doing well. They seemed to be thriving. And David knew that this was wrong. Here were these enemies of God prevailing against a servant of God, prevailing against him, a man of God. That wasn't right. It wasn't just. And so in the midst of this situation that David was facing, he offers this prayer to the God he knows to be a righteous judge, a prayer that the Lord would vindicate the righteous and bring judgment on the wicked. As David, the man of God, is being attacked by the enemies of the Lord, he looks to the Lord, the righteous judge, to do right. He looks for the Lord, the righteous judge, to stand with him and bring judgment on his enemies. He prays for the Lord to do what is right. So let's look carefully at this prayer together. There are three things that we will see as we look at it together this morning. In the first place, David presents his case to the Lord. That's the first thing. In this prayer for justice, David begins by making his case. Here, he's saying, here's why the Lord should stand with him and judge in his favor. Here's why the Lord should act for his sake. David gives his reasons. He makes his argument. And you'll notice that this begins in verse 1 with David pointing out that he has a righteous cause. He has a righteous cause. Listen to again to what he says. Hear, O Lord, my righteous plea. In the English Standard Version, this reads, hear a just cause. David appeals to the Lord by stating that his cause is a righteous one. David knows that God is just, and he wants God to see that his cause, the reason for his prayer, is a righteous one. Hear, O Lord, my righteous plea. You know, as Christians today, we can make the same kind of prayer. We can offer the same kind of prayer to God. As we offer our prayers to God, we can make our appeal to God's justice and to the righteousness of the cause for which we are praying. We can appeal to God to hear us and to answer on the basis of the righteousness of the cause that we're bringing to him. For example, when we see things happening in the world that we know to be wrong and to be unjust, we can appeal to God knowing he is a righteous judge and appeal to his justice. In various parts of the world today, we have Christians, as we've seen and prayed about, we have Christians being unfairly treated and attacked. simply because they serve God and because they worship the Lord and they acknowledge Jesus as their King. In recent months and this morning, we have prayed for the Early Rain Covenant Church, a Reformed congregation in China that has been basically shut down by the governing authorities for their Christian faith and confession. Many of their members have been harassed, possessions have been taken, and recently their pastor, Wang Yi, has been sentenced to several years in prison. And of course, it's not just China. There are plenty of other nations where the Lord's people are under attack because of their faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. North Korea, Pakistan, India, it happens in certain places, in the Middle East, in Africa. In all these places, we see the Lord's people being attacked by those who oppose them. And it's wrong. It's wrong. It's not just. And in these situations, the enemies of the Lord appear to be doing well. And those who follow the Lord and who do right are suffering and doing poorly. And we can look at that and say, that's not how it should be. That's not right. It's not just. Pastor Wang Yi should not be in prison. It's wrong that he's in prison. If anything, it should be the adversaries of God's people who are the ones who are faring poorly. What we see happening is not right. And so what do we do? Well, in these situations, we can appeal to God, knowing that he is a righteous judge. We can call upon the Lord to hear a righteous cause and to do right. We can call upon him on behalf of the Early Rain Covenant Church and Pastor Wang Yi and others. We can say, hear, O Lord, a righteous plea, because it is a righteous plea. Or what about our own nation? As I mentioned earlier, today is the day that we reflect upon the sanctity of human life, and we reflect upon how human life has not been treated as sacred and has not been protected as it ought to be. As it stands today, the laws of our nation do not do much to protect the lives of the unborn. And so every year in this land, thousands and thousands of innocent children have their lives taken from them through abortion. And we can look at that and say, that's wrong. It's a violation of the law of God. It's an attack on man who has been made in the image of God, and it's unjust. But as Christians, we can cry out to the Lord. We can say, hear, O Lord, my righteous plea. Hear a just cause, O Lord. We know that God is a righteous judge, and we can bring the situation to him. We can pray to God. We can say, here's the situation. Look what's happening. It's wrong. It cries out for justice. And so we can pray that the Lord would right the situation. So as King David brings his case to God, he makes the point he has a righteous cause. But he also does more than that. Notice, David not only argues that he has a righteous cause, he also argues that he is a righteous man. In making his case for the Lord to vindicate him, David argues that he is in the right. You'll notice that he brings this up a number of times in the psalm. Again, notice how he does this. In verse 1, David says, give ear to my prayers. It does not rise from deceitful lips. David says, my lips have not been deceitful. Or verse 3, he says, though you probe my heart and examine me at night, though you test me, you will find nothing. Or verse 5, David says, my steps have held to your paths. My feet have not slipped. Now, do you hear what David's saying? As David makes his case, he appeals to his uprightness or his righteousness. He's saying, I've not done wrong. I'm not the guilty one here. I've not brought this upon myself. My steps have held to your paths. My lips have not been deceitful. David's presenting his life. He's saying, look at me, Lord. I have not followed the way of the wicked. Look at my life. I've been upright. I have kept your ways. I have lived uprightly. Now, I want you to observe that this kind of prayer is actually found all over the Psalms. Repeatedly, we find David and other psalm writers reminding the Lord of their innocence and of their uprightness. And as they call upon the Lord to act in their favor, they remind him of that. Or in some cases, they describe how the Lord vindicated them or acted in their favor because of their uprightness. In fact, if we just turn over to the very next psalm, Psalm 18, we hear this very thing. Psalm 18, verses 20 to 26. Listen to how David speaks of himself in this psalm. He says, "The Lord has dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord. I have not done evil by turning from my God. All his laws are before me. I have not turned away from his decrees. I have been blameless before him and have kept myself from sin. The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. To the faithful, you show yourself faithful. To the blameless, you show yourself blameless. To the pure, you show yourself pure. But to the crooked, you show yourself shrewd." Now, do you hear that? David speaks there of his uprightness. He speaks of the cleanness of his hands. He speaks of keeping the ways of the Lord. He speaks of being blameless. And he says that God judged him and rewarded him for these things. He says, "The Lord has dealt with me according to my righteousness." Now, what about you? This is a question I sometimes ask when we come to a passage like this. Would you feel comfortable praying in this way? Would you feel appropriate to pray the words of this psalm before God? Would you feel it appropriate? I think it's safe to say that despite the frequency with which we find this kind of prayer in the Psalms, many Christians would not be comfortable necessarily praying this kind of prayer. We would not feel appropriate, perhaps. I think a lot of Christians might look at this and say, "Well, I can't pray in this way. I can't appeal to my righteousness. It sounds wrong. It sounds self-righteous." After all, the Bible shows us that we're all sinners. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. How can we plead our blamelessness? How can we say that we have held to God's paths and that we are innocent? What we have to remember is that when David and other psalm writers speak of being righteous, they're not saying that they are perfect or that they're sinless. These were of course, not perfect men. We all know, and you just think of the life of David and what he did. We know he was far from a perfect man. And being righteous or blameless is not the same as being sinless. No, in the Bible, the righteous man is the man who has faith in the Lord. Think of Abraham in Genesis 15. He believed the Lord, and it was counted to him as righteousness. The righteous man is the sinner who puts their faith in the Lord, who confesses their sin and trusts in the mercy of God, and then who seeks to walk, albeit imperfectly, but in the ways of God. To put it another way, to be righteous is to be a believer. It is the person who trusts in the Lord. And because they're trusting in the Lord does not hold their sins against them. Their sin is forgiven by the blood of Christ, and they're counted as righteous. And King David, of course, was that kind of man. He was far from perfect. He was, guilty of great sin, adultery, murder, deceit. And his sins, of course, are right there in the Bible for us to read about. But he was righteous by faith. And in praying to God, he could appeal not to his sinlessness, but to his righteousness. He was a righteous man. He was a faithful believer who sought to walk in the ways of God and to walk away from the paths of sin. And as Christians living today, we can also pray this way. We can pray words like we see here in Psalm 17 and 18. This is not a self-righteousness, and it's not bragging. This is not a self-righteous psalm. We can pray this way. If you belong to Christ through faith, you are righteous. By the grace of God, you trust in the Lord, you trust in God's mercy in Jesus Christ, you seek to walk in his ways. In other words, you are walking blamelessly with the Lord. And when you appeal to the Lord for justice, you can bring up your innocence or uprightness to him, just as David does here. If you're being attacked for being a Christian, you can appeal to God on the basis of your righteousness or your blamelessness. You can pray Psalm 17 or Psalm 18 Or you can pray the same thing, but in your own words. But you can appeal to God in this way. You can appeal to your being blameless or righteous, a righteousness, though, that is through faith in God, through faith in God who has forgiven you of your sins. And so as David makes his plea to God, he emphasizes that he has a righteous cause and that he is a righteous man. That's the reason that he gives. That's how he makes his case to the Lord, the righteous judge. So that's how he makes his case. In the second place this morning, we have David's request. And we see this especially in verses 6 through 14. Having pleaded his innocence and his righteousness, David then presents his request. He calls upon the Lord to act in this situation. Here's David, a righteous man, and here are these men attacking him. And so David calls upon God to act. And what would that look like? What does David want the Lord to do? Well, to begin with, David prays that the Lord would preserve his life. After all, he's innocent. He doesn't deserve to be attacked and put to death. And so he prays for his life. And notice the way he does this. Verse 7, he puts it in a very beautiful way here. He says to the Lord, "Show the wonder of your great love, you who save by your right hand those who take refuge in you from their foes." It's a beautiful way to put it. David prays for God to rescue him by asking the Lord to show the wonder of his great love. For he is the God who saves those who take refuge in him. Show the wonder of your great love, he says. Show your love to me. Show your kindness and your faithfulness to me. That's a wonderful way to ask something of God. After all, the Lord is faithful. He is the God who keeps his covenant and steadfast love with his people. And in our times of need, we can call upon him to show that love and mercy toward us as we look to him in faith. Show me the wonder of your great love to me. And then what else does David say as he prays for the Lord to spare him? Well, notice verse 8. He says, "Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings." Now, what is the apple of the eye? It's the pupil. That's what the phrase would be referring to. However, the phrase, of course, is used to speak of something that is very dear and precious. And so when the Bible speaks of the apple of God's eye, it's speaking of something that is very dear and precious to God. In particular, the Bible shows us that God's people are the apple of his eye. Zechariah 2:8, the prophet says, "For this is what the Lord Almighty says, after he has honored me and has sent me against the nations that have plundered you, for whoever touches you," that is, whoever touches God's people, "touches the apple of his eye." God's people in the Bible are the apple of his eye, dear and precious to the Lord. And David, the great king, could also speak of himself as the apple of God's eye, and so can we today. We who belong to the Lord, who trust in Jesus Christ, who have been saved by the grace of God in Jesus Christ to be his people, we are the apple of God's eye. That's how precious we are to God. That's what God's people are to God. That's how the Word speaks of us. David knew this, and so in making his prayer, he says, "Keep me as the apple of your eye. Keep me under the shadow of your wings." It's such a beautiful description there of the covenant relationship that the Lord has established with us. In the covenant, the Lord has established a relationship of deep communion and friendship with us. He takes us under the shadow of his wings. So that's what David appeals to in this prayer for protection. He appeals to the covenant. He appeals to the beautiful relationship that the Lord has established with David as one of his people. And that's, of course, how we can pray as well. That's how we can pray to God in our time of need. Remember, God is not reluctant toward his people. God is not half-hearted toward us. God, what we see here is God loves his people. He delights in his people. He speaks of his people as the very apple of his eye. He takes us under the shadow of his wings. That's the God we are praying to when we come to him in our time of need. That's the God to whom we are coming, the God who loves and delights in his people. David knew this, and so he appeals to this love as he asks the Lord to protect him. So in making this request, David prays to the Lord to protect him and to spare his life. But that's not all he prays for. You'll notice he also calls on the Lord to bring judgment on his enemies. Having made his case and stated his innocence, he asks the Lord to vindicate him by preserving his life and bringing judgment on his enemies, who are also the enemies of God. Now, how does he do this? Well, notice he begins by emphasizing their evil ways. Listen to how he describes them in verse 12. He says, they are like a lion hungry for prey, like a fierce lion crouching in cover. In other words, they're just there looking to pounce. They're looking to attack the people of God. They're looking to do harm. And in particular, they're looking to attack God's people and God's king. And that's the key thing here. It's important to recognize that these are not simply people who are out there in the world doing bad things. David doesn't pray this way. He doesn't pray for this vindication because these are simply bad people out there who are doing bad things. No, the people that David is speaking about here are attacking the people of God. They're going after the faithful church of God. They're attacking the apple of God's eye. And we need to recognize that. These are not just bad people who happen to be out there or criminals. David doesn't pray for the Lord to bring judgment merely because these people are doing bad things. No, these people are intentionally attacking the Lord's people. They're intentionally going after the apple of God's eye. And so in light of this, David calls upon the Lord to bring his judgment. Verse 13, rise up, O Lord, confront them, bring them down, rescue me from the wicked by your sword. David prays for rescue. He prays for judgment on these people who are attacking the apple of the Lord's eye. Bring them down, he says. Use your sword. And once again, we might wonder, can we pray like this? Can I pray like David is doing here? Can I pray these words? Here's David asking the Lord to judge his enemies. Is that appropriate? Once again, as I mentioned, it's important to keep in mind, David isn't simply asking the Lord to judge or condemn bad people in general. It's not even just because they're attacking him, or it's not speaking of someone who just did something bad to you or something like that. He's calling on the Lord to judge those who are attacking the church, the people of God. And that's the thing to remember here. The enemies of this psalm are the people who are attacking the Lord, the Lord's anointed, and the Lord's people. They're attacking the church, which is the apple of God's eye. And in that kind of situation, it can be appropriate to pray that God would vindicate his people and bring judgment. When Christians in various parts of the world are being persecuted, let's think about that. When we have Christians being persecuted, when the apple of God's eye in China or North Korea, wherever it might be, is being harmed and attacked for their confession of faith, we can pray that the Lord to judge the enemies of his people. When the church in China is being attacked, we can pray that the Lord would act and vindicate his people. We can pray that those who are attacking the church would be converted too. We can certainly pray for their conversion, but we can also pray for judgment. We can pray that the Lord would conquer these people, either by way of judgment or by way of their conversion. Either way, the Lord would be triumphing over evil. So we could pray that the Lord would triumph over them, either by converting them or by judgment. So in the right situation, we can pray as David does here. We can pray for the Lord's judgment on those who are attacking his people. So that's David's request. He asked the Lord to vindicate him by preserving his life and by judging his enemies. And that brings us then to the third thing we're going to see together. In the third place, we have David's confidence in the Lord. He's made his appeal to the Lord, he's made his request, and now finally we see David's confidence in the Lord his God. And now I turn to the very last verse of the psalm, verse 15. And I want you to listen carefully to the deep faith and confidence that David expresses here in this very last verse. Listen to what he says. And I in righteousness, I will see your face. When I awake, I will be satisfied with seeing your likeness. Now think about those words carefully. David speaks of seeing God's face and of waking up to see the Lord's likeness. Now notice, the hope that David expresses here appears to go beyond simple protection or deliverance from his enemies. There's something more that is being conveyed here. Beholding God's face, awaking in his likeness. That's more than simple protection. This is pointing something to something far more wonderful and glorious. David is looking ahead here to his deliverance from his enemies, but even more, he is looking beyond that to his ultimate deliverance and salvation. He's looking to the day when he will see the Lord. This is a hope that goes beyond salvation in this life. This is a hope that goes beyond just being vindicated by God against your enemies. This is a future hope. This is a resurrection hope. David is looking ahead to the day when full salvation will be realized, when he will awake and be raised up to see the Lord. Isn't that what the words anticipate? No, he doesn't use the word resurrection. But what he's speaking of here implies such. He's speaking of waking up to behold the Lord. And that is something that is only ultimately realized at the resurrection. And I, in righteousness, I will see your face. When I awake, I will be satisfied with seeing your likeness. That's ultimately the resurrection. And that was ultimately David's hope. Yes, David was looking to be delivered from his enemies in his own lifetime. But this also anticipates a more ultimate deliverance, a waking to see the Lord. And brothers and sisters, that is our hope as well. We look to the day when the Lord who saves the righteous will raise us up to behold the face of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. On that day that lies ahead of us, we will awake in his likeness. And so, yes, as the church today, we can pray to God for vindication. We can plead for the Lord to act. We can plead our innocence and pray that the Lord would deliver us or our brothers and sisters around the world from enemies who are attacking. And we can pray that the Lord would vindicate them. And that's good to pray for. That's what David was praying for. And we ought to pray for these things. But in this psalm, this psalm also teaches us to look beyond this life. It teaches us to look beyond vindication in this life to something that is even greater. We are to look to the day when the Lord will fully and finally act for the sake of his people in righteousness by raising us up from the dead, even as Christ was raised from the dead. Remember, our Lord was a victim of great injustice and unrighteousness. He was attacked. He was put to death. But God vindicated it. God vindicated him. How? By raising him from the dead. And that's when our vindication will ultimately come as well. Yes, there may be times when the Lord's people experience vindication in this present world, and we can pray for that. But our ultimate vindication will be at the resurrection. Our Lord Jesus was vindicated by God when he was raised up from the dead, and we too will see full vindication when we are raised from the dead. And our persecuted brothers and sisters will also be vindicated when God raises them from the dead as well. The Lord, who is a righteous judge, will ultimately do right. He will ultimately vindicate his people. We may not see it always in our lifetime, but the Lord will ultimately do right for his people. On that day, we who believe will behold his face in righteousness. We will be satisfied when we awake in his likeness. And what a day that will be. What a hope we have, brothers and sisters, in Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Holy and gracious God, our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that we know that you are righteous and just, and that you will do right and you will act for the sake of your people. We pray, O Lord, that you would help. We ask you, Lord, to help us to continually bring our needs and the needs of the church and the needs of persecuted brothers and sisters before you, trusting, O Lord, that you will ultimately do right for your people, and that there is a day when there will be ultimate vindication, the day of the resurrection. Help us, Father, to place our hope in Christ and to rest in him and have confidence knowing that day will come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.